You know what, Sam?
What?
As Tripp likes to say, we're cooking with oil, gas, and gravy.
Yes, we are.
Coming to you from the heart of Canes country, this is the Caniac Report, your number one source for everything Carolina Hurricanes, hot takes, predictions, game analysis, and NHL news. And now your hosts, Sam Wallace and Sam Driscoll.
All right, we're back with another episode of the Caniac Report. And Sam, a great win to end the home games with two wins, Washington game and the Columbus game, which we'll be recapping in this episode because it's awesome to report on the Hurricanes. I mean, we're Caniacs, we report on them. That's why it's called the Caniac Report, right?
Yes.
I mean, it's a great title. It really is. It fits what we're doing. So, first things first, what we usually do is we start a podcast news, and we have a great partnership with SeatGeek. You get $20 off of your first purchase if you use promo code CANIACREPORT, all one word. It's a great deal. Playoffs are coming up, so I would definitely use that because prices will definitely be high. The next piece of news is we have a donation link in all of our episode descriptions. So if you feel compelled to give, that is where it is located in the description of our episodes. So that's all for podcast news. And Sam, now let's get to NHL news. Now, the last episode, which was you and Brandon, didn't really talk about the standings because there were a couple things with Crosby and Skinner reaching 1,000 games.
Yeah, I think we may have briefly touched on standings and what could happen, not betting against Crosby, all that stuff. Hey, yeah. I was right. Didn't I tell you? Don't bet against Sidney Crosby.
Yeah, really, do not bet against him. Mm-hmm. He is still one of the best players. So, standings, Sam. Quite a few things have changed since the last time we've talked about it.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should. Now, here's the thing. Carolina, I think it's pretty clear. We're in second place in the Metro. We're not going to move down. Mathematically, that is not impossible.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think we're going to move up just because the Rangers keep on winning. Now, what I am hoping, Sam, Boston is 1 point behind the Rangers.
I don't think it's mathematically possible we move down.
That's why I said mathematically moving down.
Okay, I thought you said we could mathematically move down. I don't think so.
Yeah, we could not.
We are locked in it, too. The only way we can do is move up.
Yes, very true. But to me, there's an interesting race for the President's Trophy, Sam. Boston and the Rangers, they're right together. And, Sam, I am actually hoping, I can't believe I'm saying this, I am hoping Boston wins the President's Trophy. Because that means the Rangers will have to face the first wild card place, and that's Tampa.
Carolina could get back into that race tonight because New York is currently losing to the Canadiens.
Are they really?
1-0 Montreal.
Oh, wow.
At the moment. And
well, that could change. That really could change.
It's halfway through the game, but Montreal is helping out Boston and Carolina. And, I mean, what is it right now? I haven't looked at the standings in a while. See, number one, New York, number two, Boston, number three, Dallas, number four, Carolina. So there are four teams in my mind fighting for the President's Trophy. I still don't think Carolina can really make it.
No,
I think
don't
Carolina
either.
Has the schedule to make it. Like, I could see them running it, you know, the only loss coming against maybe Boston, but I think Carolina can beat every other team they play in this next four games because it's Boston, Columbus, Chicago, and I forgot the other.
I think it's pretty clear. Yeah, we probably want Carolina to win against Boston.
Yeah.
But would you be disappointed if Boston win based on the standings?
Boston, St. Louis, Chicago, Columbus. I would rather Boston be there because then the only time we'd play Boston would be... I mean...
Because I would like to see the Rangers and Tampa just battle it out.
Yeah, because, I mean, at that point, it's the Atlantic that's the only division that's going to get bloodied. Because at that point, I'm going to feel like the Metro is going to be a walk for first and second if New York does not win the President's Trophy.
Yeah,
because then the Rangers
it's a tough position as a Canes fan.
Yeah, because
I think.
Right now the Rangers are going to play Detroit. I mean, if the playoffs started today, it'd be Detroit, Carolina would play New York, Boston would play. New York would play.
Yeah, if Boston
would play
wins.
Tampa. What a first round matchup for Boston. That would suck. Florida plays Toronto. I mean, you think New York beats Detroit in every possible scenario. And Carolina can beat New York Islanders. We've beaten them the last two times we played them in the playoffs. I don't think a lot's changed where Carolina shouldn't win that series. So, I mean, New York probably wins in six. Carolina probably wins in five or six. And then Boston and Tampa, that's probably seven. Florida and Toronto, that's probably seven. So, I mean, you know, the Atlantic's stuck playing seven-game series, and the Metro's like, okay, these are kind of cakewalk.
Yeah, series. So that's kind of, I mean, that to me, that's the reason why, I mean, again, if Boston wins, I'm kind of fine with it. I'm from a standings perspective because I really don't want the Rangers to have an easy shot at advancing.
No, I don't, because really it would be a relatively easier series for New York. I'd rather them play Tampa, because if they get knocked out, because Tampa, I mean, if you think that Tampa Bay is an easy out, oh boy.
No, they're not. They really aren't.
I watched, what did we do? We watched some of that game the other day, didn't we? Tampa Bay versus, who was it, Pittsburgh? Right, yeah, Tampa versus Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh won the game.
But it was a close game.
And Tampa's deadly, so don't think Tampa's going to, you know, you can't snooze on the Lightning. Then teams battling. So really, several teams have a path to a playoff spot, most of them being the metropolitan teams, right? You have the Islanders, you have the Pittsburgh Penguins, the Philadelphia Flyers, and the Washington Capitals. I really think Buffalo, New Jersey have fallen out of it at this point. I don't think they're in a position to win.
No, I don't either. But Detroit, what's interesting for them is that, I mean, they're not in the Metro, so the best they could do is be second wild card
spot. Yes, there is no mathematical way. So, but they don't care. They just want to get in.
Exactly.
So, and right now, the reality is, just looking at the standings, looking at games played, the Islanders have played 77, the Red Wings played 77, the Penguins have played 77, the Flyers are in the worst position. They've played 78, and the Washington Capitals are in the best position. They've played 76. So the Caps have a game in hand. The Flyers have played a game more. It's starting to look more and more likely like Philadelphia is going to continue to fall, and they cannot seem to win. And I'm sure that makes Tortorella very angry, rightfully so. It makes him very angry.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And Washington has a game in hand. They win, and I think they might leapfrog. No, they do not leapfrog the Islanders, but they tie the Red Wings in points. And that point, it's just a matter of the tiebreak. Which Washington has, yes. Yep, Washington has more regulation wins than Detroit by one. So Washington wins that tiebreak. Philadelphia, I don't know if they can do it. You need help?
I don't think they can do it either. They just keep losing.
But if the Caps lose a game, lose their game, I don't know if they play tonight.
Caps have games in hand.
So the Caps
Philadelphia are actually, doesn't.
So the Washington Capitals are playing their game in hand right now on these guys. So the Caps are playing their game in hand.
It's tied 2-2 against Ottawa.
And the Rangers tied it up against Montreal.
Yep, not surprising.
So it's tied 2-2. Again, the Caps, if they when and that game should be over before we finish this podcast, so we can retake check the standings at the end. But it's tight.
It is
second wild card spot and that third Metro spot. People thought it was going to be, you know, Metro is going to be close. I don't really think the Metro is close. I think you have two top tier teams in New York and Carolina, and then the rest of this the Metro was honestly just not that good this year. The Atlantic was actually very good this year because you have Boston, Florida, Toronto, Tampa, and Detroit. Right now you've got five.
That doesn't surprise me. I think we've always thought, and we're not the only ones, we've always thought Atlantic Division was better than the Metro.
This season, absolutely. I mean, right now the only teams that aren't really in it, and I mean, even if you want to be honest, Buffalo was in this playoff hunt probably until the last couple weeks. So it's not like Buffalo wasn't making a strong push as well, because they started winning a lot of games. So in reality, you had six Atlantic teams that I think had decent seasons. Obviously for Buffalo, they need to get in.
Yeah. New Jersey's a shock to everyone.
Their goaltending just sucked. And
exactly.
They did them in. They made a mistake. In my opinion, Lindy Ruff wasn't the problem. You should have traded for a goaltender, and the owner should have fired their general manager.
They should have done it sooner because they got Jake Allen and Kaapo Kakkonen. That's right.
At the end of the day, I blame management, not the coach. So, I mean, firing Lindy, okay. But, I mean, you didn't even give him what he needed. So it's not his fault. It's not his fault. The goalie can't stop a puck. Right.
And maybe the goaltending coach needs to be looked at.
Yeah. I mean, there are some things you can look at there that firing Lindy Ruff wasn't the answer, and that became very obvious.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Because they still didn't do good. But they like Travis Green, and I think that's fair. He's done well in New Jersey, but now that they have goaltending, I think they'll be okay. It's just too late this season, which is unfortunate. But, I mean, it's going to be tight down the stretch for that last wild card spot in the Metro team.
It's going to come down to the last game, I think.
Yeah, because you've got the Islanders. You've got Pittsburgh, Philly, Washington all vying for that final third place Metro. And then you've got that final wild card spot that either another Metro team's going to get or Detroit's going to get. So, you know, it's fascinating. Personally,
we'll know by next week.
I'd like to see Detroit get in there over Pittsburgh, Philly, Washington, and the Islanders.
Wild
card spot. I love Sidney Crosby, so I'd rather Crosby get that third place at the Metro. I'd hate to play him for a playoff series, but I think it'd be kind of cool for Carolina to try and get revenge against the Penguins. What happened last time Carolina played Pittsburgh in the playoffs, Sam?
Yeah, that would be. Oh, yeah. That would be 10 interesting.
10-plus years ago.
Got swept. By Pittsburgh in the conference finals.
Was it 14 years ago now, I think?
2009 playoffs. Yeah, that was the year you said you 15. Got into the hurt.
Yeah, so 15
Hurricanes
years.
Hockey.
Yeah, so it'd be full circle for me. it'd be a heck of a series.
Oh, it would be.
I mean, but Pittsburgh getting
I do think we're better on paper.
We are
Pittsburgh.
Better on paper than
but
Pittsburgh.
But I don't want to play Pittsburgh because they have Sidney Crosby at the same
Nedeljkovic.
Time.
And Nedeljkovic, who's been very good against us.
Yes, he has. But I still think we can do it. I think we are the better team. But we'll find out next week who makes it in. We will have a first-round preview on whoever we verse. So that's all for looking at the standings.
And we should have a guest for that, too.
Oh, yeah, we might have a guest. That is correct. So that's all of us looking at the standings there. Now we're going to get to some Hurricanes news, Sam. Quite a bit of Hurricanes news. Hurricanes sign prospect Glib Trikazev, as it's pronounced on Elite Prospects, to an entry-level deal. And it sounds like they're going to sign Jackson Blake, I believe, if that's his name.
Jackson Blake?
No. Let me just get to the big one. Bradley Nadeau.
Yes, Nadeau getting signed was huge.
He got signed, and to me, that was the biggest one. Because, I mean, he played his first season in the NCAA, did very good. I thought we were going to sign him probably next year, is my guess. But us signing him really got me the indication of he and Unger Sorum could fight a little bit for some competition for next year's roster spots open, possibly.
So Griff and I were kind of chatting about this at the game because I was sitting with him today. And the thought now might be they're freeing up rosters. They're freeing up cap space to get Guentzel done. Because if you have Unger Sorum, what player is he play most like? Teuvo Teravainen. That's about $5 million right there. All right.
Blake is the other prospect that Jackson is rumored to get signed, which he probably will.
The other one we signed is Scott Morrow.
Already announced that. Yep. Bless.
And who does he remind you of? He's like a Brady Shea kind of guy. So if that Brady Shea walks, it's another $5 million.
Yep.
Or if Pesci, right? You know, if you keep one or the other. But either way, it's about a $5 million cap free up. So that's about $10 million. So right there, Unger Sorum or Nadeau, then Scott Morrow with combine those guys. And then you have Teuvo Teravainen and Brady Shea or Brett Pesci walking. You're freeing up $10 million. You're going to give that to Guentzel.
And I think they're Guentzel. Well,
This bringing these guys and signing these guys makes sense for the Hurricanes right now because you're freeing up you're in a good position where you have a lot of good young players who can make the jump this year, and you got some players who are older who are going to want some money who are comparable to these younger players, right? Like, Ungersorm is very similar to Tabo. And I think we already signed Ungersorm. I think he's already got a contract.
Yes, I think we do.
But it didn't kick in this year because he's playing overseas, so he didn't have any of that click. You know, he didn't have any of that go off for this season. One of those years go away. So,
part of his contract is 2023-2024.
Okay. So, yeah, we do have him under contract.
Yes, we do.
So, Felix Ungersorm comes in. Teravine goes out. Yeah, Teravine scored tonight. Everyone's upset. You know, Teravine is not going to leave. If you want to keep some of these guys, you can't keep everyone. It just is going to be a tough offseason.
It makes you wonder about Natchez, too. Just a little bit.
If you sign
Teravine, I think Natchez goes.
Well, you won't sign Teravine over Natchez. You sign Natchez.
Oh, I would, too, personally.
Natchez is younger. That just makes sense. Because you have a replacement for Tavo. You don't have a replacement for Natchez, unless you think Nadeau is comparable to Natchez, and I don't know enough about Nadeau to comment on that.
I don't either. But all I know is that he's a very good goal scorer.
And this is the reality that you have this offseason, and we talk about it because we want you all to be prepared. Be prepared for the Hurricanes to let a player go you might really like. Right? Because that's the reality. If you really like Pesci, you might not be here next season. If you're like me and really like Brady Shea, he might not be here next season. I'm not going to be happy about that. But you got to be prepared. You have to kind of have this in your mind that some of these guys aren't going to be here next year. You really like Tavo? Everyone loves Turbo. Fan favorite.
He was great against Columbus.
Yeah, he was great tonight. But let's be honest. Might not be here next year. Be prepared for some of these guys not to be here next season. Antti Raanta, probably not going to be here next year. In fact, I'm confident in saying he's not going to be here next year.
Yeah, that's one player I am pretty confident about.
And I hate that. I love Father Finn, but I know he's going to want to play in the NHL, and it just won't be here because we've got Spencer Martin locked up now. We have Peretz locked up. We have Kochetkov locked up.
And
we've
got Freddie.
So we have four goalies. We don't need a fifth.
Yeah,
there really is no instance where you should need a fifth goaltender.
For NHL purposes, of course.
Yeah.
You can always add one for like maybe AHL purposes.
Sure.
But they have to get an AHL team first.
Which I think they will, and I think that's gonna come at with all these signings.
I hope so.
So because they gotta play somewhere if they're not playing in the NHL. But I think they're gonna be playing with the team. I think of a good chance that Carolina allows some of these young guys to play with the team because I think they're that good. And I think this team thinks they're that good. But be prepared, and we're talking about this now, just, you know, obviously this isn't something you have to worry about at the moment. This team, hopefully, I think they do have a long playoff push to go through, and then at that point you'll have a couple weeks to prepare yourself to mourn, because hopefully we're playing so late into the summer that it's only a couple weeks, but you got to mourn, be prepared to mourn some of these guys when they leave the team, because yeah. I think it's likely they leave the team.
But right now we can put our playoff hats on. Don't have to worry about that. But hopefully after us winning a Stanley Cup, that's when we'll probably have to be prepared to put our mourning hats on.
Yes, and we'll talk about that.
We will talk about that in a future episode. We really will during the off season. But yeah, a couple of entry-level deals done. And Sam, Frederik Andersen, I think this is awesome. He gets nominated for the Masterson Trophy. Now, every team has a player that gets nominated. But I think Andersen has a really good case here to possibly win it.
I think he's
mainly because of the situation that he had with the blood clotting injury thing that he had.
I think it makes sense for Andersen to win it, if I'm honest with you.
He should at least be a finalist, in my opinion.
Yes. He's played so unbelievably good. I mean, like, unbelievably good.
Yeah, he's had, like, what, two, three shutouts since
he's returned? He got one tonight.
Yeah, he did. He got one tonight. I know we shut out Florida. Was that Andersen? It could have been.
I think it was close. It may have been Freddie.
But, I mean, that was just... He's been playing so well. And, Detroit, I believe. He shut out Detroit. I do know that, because I believe he was in net. But yeah, I'm looking right now just to be sure on the Detroit game. I'm pretty confident in that. Yes, Detroit game, confirmed on that. And I'm looking at the Florida game right now.
He has 3 shutouts this season, for the record.
And for the Florida game...
He shut out Columbus, he shut out Detroit.
And Florida, yep.
Florida, okay.
So that's 3 shutouts after he comes back.
And he didn't win NHL Player of the Month for March.
I wasn't happy about that, but whatever. I just put that upon him. I don't care. But good for Anderson to be nominated. He should be, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I think he has a really good chance of winning because of the circumstance that he went through. Like, that's tough for any player.
Yeah, and then you come back and you lead the team to the playoffs and probably through the playoffs.
Yes, exactly. Now, we're not criticizing Kochetkov. He's been playing great as well. It's just Anderson's been playing a little bit better above his ability
right Yes, now. Yes, and Anderson's not letting in any soft goals. I think Kochetkov still lets a soft one in every now and then. I don't know. I can't remember.
But it's not on a
Anderson's game worst by game. Game
perspective.
No, Anderson's worst game was that first game when he let that really bad goal in. And it was really bad, but it was like, okay, Freddie, it's your first game. I'm going to give you a pass here.
Which game was that?
I know he passed the puck.
Was that the Calgary game?
It may have been. He like passed the puck out, and it just was like an empty net.
I think that was the Calgary game.
Okay, yeah. It was just like, you know, it was just like a big like, oh my God. But it was okay. It was his first game back.
But yeah, congrats to him. And Sam, the last piece of Hurricanes news is... After tonight's win against Columbus, Hurricanes have sold out every home game this season. Congrats to the Hurricane fans. Now you have to actually prove your fans if we play against the Rangers. But
Or Boston.
Or Boston.
Or Pittsburgh.
Yeah. Pittsburgh,
or maybe. Philadelphia.
Yep. Uh-huh. But, I mean, congrats, there aren't a lot of Islanders fans here. Congrats on selling out every home game.
Yep.
Don't be tested in the playoffs, though.
Thank you all. Except Rangers fans, Islanders fans, Flyers fans. I don't give a crap about any of you. You bought resale crap. Yes, so this is my
I bet you're happy with what Trim said.
This is my PSA to all those folks. You aren't wanted. Stop getting season tickets. Let an actual Hurricanes fan get season tickets. If you only care about that one game a year where they play the stupid Rags or the Bruins or any of that, you're not a real Hurricanes fan. Stop pretending you're a Hurricanes fan. Go to hell. When the playoffs start, I don't like you. I don't want you. I don't want to see you in my arena. And I'm going to say this too. I said it in the last episode, and I'm going to say it now. Geo-restrict tickets because Rangers fans travel.
Hold on.
You geo-restrict the tickets against Boston. Against Pittsburgh, against any of those teams where it's been a problem in this arena, you have to do it. Now, yes, you're going to have the stupid ones from Cary, okay? But I know they travel because I've seen it on Twitter that these Rangers fans and Flyers fans and Penguins fans and Boston fans fly in to RDU for these games. Geo, restrict the tickets for the playoffs. Their stupid markets do it for other sports. So if they complain, who cares?
I think they will. I really have to.
I really think they have to. So it's not fair. It's miserable. You went to the Bruins game.
Yeah, that
it was miserable, right?
Although the Boston fan next to me was pretty nice. I enjoyed talking with him. He wasn't crapping on the Hurricanes.
No, but isn't it miserable sitting there when the Bruins score and everyone's going crazy and the sound is just as loud?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Geo restrict tickets because not all of those guys are from Cary. And hopefully the ones from Cary can't afford to go buy tickets.
Well, Cary's a nice place to stay in.
So. Either way, I don't.
We live in Cary, we know.
Geo-restrict tickets. If you're a Hurricanes fan and a season ticket holder, act like it. Don't put on that stupid Rags jersey.
I agreed too. So yeah, that's all for news in general. Now we're going to recap the Washington and the Columbus game. But before we do, let's get to our sponsor. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app with code THPN. New customers bet just $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boo Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 24. All rights reserved.
Okay, Sam, the Washington game. Before we get to this, Sam, it was interesting on the news leading up to this game that Svechnikov fell ill. Now, this game was right after the Boston game where we lost 4-1. And I agree with you, to be honest, because to me, saying that he's ill on the back end of a back-to-back, to me, a little bit hard to believe that he's actually ill because he was not playing well.
No,
leading up to the Washington game.
Now, I mean, if you listen to the last episode when I had Brandon from the Warning Take on, we talked about it. I asked him, I was like, "You think it's time to give Svetch, let him watch it from the press box?" And he said, "Yes." Now,
Seems like that sparked a fire in him against Columbus, which was great.
I still think he wasn't sick.
Oh, I don't think he was either. I really don't. Especially the Columbus game kind of cements a little bit, I think, the evidence of him actually being sick.
If he was sick, it was like a cold, and Rod just took that as an excuse to make him sit out for a game. So maybe Rod told him, "You're sick, you can't play," but that's about it.
And Rod, I think, after the Boston game, I think when he spoke, he was like, "Yeah, I'm kind of sick of Svetch right now." This, that type of attitude, that vibe. So he's not playing against Washington, but Sam, first period, honestly, I thought the Hurricanes played a pretty good game, but Ovechkin was showing it to proving that he wants to go after the Gretzky goal record. He scores 2 goals, which is frustrating because the Boston game, we let in 3 goals in the first period.
Yeah.
So that sucks, but we were playing really good in the Washington game.
Yeah, the only thing there is Carolina is better than Washington, and Boston is not, and Washington is not as good as Boston.
No, they really are not. So Ovechkin scores 2 goals. Beautiful tip on that second goal, just masterclass. Second period, Sam, we're a little bit frustrated because the Canes have been pouring it on. They're the better team, and then Slavin dumps the puck into the offensive zone. Gensel goes after it, and with his one hand on his stick, just kind of like shoots it in on a breakaway on Washington's goalie, who I'm Kemper. Yes, great goal, great pass from Slavin in order for Gensel to get the breakaway. That's 2-1. And the third period, Sam, you have the breakout period, what should have probably happened in the first and second period, because we were pouring it on.
Mm-hmm.
Netches from Shane Kuznetsov.
Yes.
Scoring, I believe, 8 minutes left on a power play.
Yep.
Aho scores on a power play from Burns and Gensel.
Yep.
And then Gensel scores the empty net. Like, what a game for Gensel. He's been playing fantastic.
Yes, and it's awesome. Sign the man. And I'll say the same thing about Brady Shea. Sign the man. I mean, seriously, get it done. There are UFAs. Get it done. You can qualify Jarvis and work on that as over the summer. But
and Natchez.
You qualify those guys. You got time for the other ones, so.
Yes, definitely. I definitely agree there. But what a great comeback win for the Hurricanes.
Yes.
I mean, I was I was a little bit worried that we were going to get goalied again by Washington in the second period. But with Gensel scored, I feel like that kind of gave the Hurricanes a little bit some relaxation into the third, knowing that they're just down by one.
Yeah.
And, I mean, Carolina, they were dominant. They could have scored a lot more goals.
Mm-hmm.
They really could have. Now the Columbus game. This game, I mean, I don't think it had the same intensity as the Washington game.
It was kind of a snooze fest. I mean, there were a lot of chances, but I didn't really view... I don't know. I wasn't, like,
all of our chances came in the first period, I thought.
So, I kept looking over at Griff, and I was like, oh, Sam's going to be so upset if the 10-goal game happens this game. Because it was starting to feel like that was what this game was going to be. Because Carolina was just chance after chance after chance after chance. And they really could have been up 6-0 after that first period.
Yeah,
because
they had so many chances. And the first goal, which, I mean, he needed that goal so much. Svechnikov from Martinuk and Chain. He's playing on that line with Staal and Martinuk.
Mm-hmm.
How I felt about that heading into Columbus, I was like, oh, well, we'll see how that goes. But that line was really good. And Teravainen, I believe, for the second straight game, has been playing with Kuznetsov and Necas. And that line, I think, has been pretty good because I think even though those are probably all pass-first players, I mean, Necas and Teravainen show that they can shoot the puck. Kuzi needs to show a little bit more that he can shoot the puck. But yeah, that line has been...
That'd be nice.
That line, I think, has really been good because Teravainen, I think, is the smarter player.
Yeah.
Defensively on that line.
It's going to give them a lot of chances there. It's going to give them a lot more opportunities and allow them to be a little bit more aggressive.
Yeah, so is that a line that you would probably do in the playoffs? Is Teravainen, Kuzi, Natchez? I wouldn't mind it.
I would do that, and then I would flip-flop Fast and Svech.
Yes, I would too. I mean,
Svech, I know everyone,
Martinuk and Nason, that could be really
good. You just have
line
to justify it to Natchez not playing on the first two lines. But, I mean, in reality, you're playing on the third scoring line and the fourth line Staal. So, I mean, that's going to have to be how you justify it. But theoretically, if you throw Svechnikov on that line, it should take advantage of people. I mean, because at that point, I'm going to feel like your third or fourth line isn't very threatening. Because at that point, Drury...
They had Nason, a couple of chances. Nason almost scored off of a post.
Yeah, but there's no one on that line that's like a finisher at that point.
Yeah, yeah, there isn't.
Or you, at this point, you have... I mean, I don't have a problem with having a fourth checking line, but like Martinuk and Staal aren't really going to be guys to produce offense a lot.
Yeah, they really aren't. And I mean, I texted this after the Boston, or not texted, sorry, tweeted this after the Boston game. If you want to have three scoring lines, then you're going to have to make Foss, Staal, and Martinuk a reality. Make that your shutdown line, and then put whoever top six player other than the Aho line, you have probably three choices to put with Drury and Nason. That's Svech, Natchez, and Teravainen. And so far from what I've seen these past two games, Sam, Teravainen I think probably is a little bit needed on that second line. But I could see, I'd love to see Svech play with Drury and Nason.
Yeah, I think it'd be a good line. I think at that point you're going to make Nason and Drury more dangerous.
Yeah,
because everyone's going to pay more attention to Svech. It's going to give them opportunities. And I think that makes that line better.
And Drury had a breakaway
too. Yeah, he did. He did. I think it went
again,
off the post.
He had to, yeah, like, I mean, that line can prove to be a hard working line, but if you put Svech on there, then all eyes are going to be on Svech, and Drury and Nason can be like, okay, we've taken their eye off of us.
So Washington lost.
Really?
Washington lost in overtime. Caps lost in overtime. So right now, Detroit and the Islanders control their own destiny. Because everyone has played the same amount of games. 77 for the Islanders, 77 for Detroit, 77 for Pittsburgh, and 77 for Washington. At this point, I'm starting to think Philly and Buffalo are out. Philly's out because they're at 78, so they've played a game more than everybody else. So, yeah,
I think this is starting to solidify itself. The decision between Washington has a chance. You know why? Guess who they get to play on Tuesday?
Who?
Detroit.
Mm.
And it is a national game for good reason.
That's, on Thursday? That matters. You said on Thursday?
No, Tuesday.
Oh, Tuesday. So it I might watch that game, actually, then.
So that game matters. Yeah. Well, we have a game that day.
Oh, that's right. We do have a game that day.
But that game matters, man. That game matters. Like, it really matters. Right?
For
them. Like that game probably determines which of those two teams get in the playoffs. It's exciting.
Oh, it is. It really is exciting. I mean, we love races.
Yeah, it's fun. It's cool to see because we're not in it.
Exactly. We are solidified in the standings. I was not stressed about the standings coming into the Columbus game. I'm not stressed coming out of it. So.
No, like I was sitting there with the game. I was like, I really care if we win. I just don't want to get hurt. So when Nate just kind of went limping off the ice, I was like freaking out. I'm like, y'all, don't get hurt. This game really doesn't mean a whole lot. Like, first, second, I don't care. Stay healthy.
Yeah. Now, we did have a 5-on-3 chance against Columbus. That was
annoying.
I mean, here's the thing. I actually thought the power play looked really good. They just couldn't score.
Yeah. No, I mean, it looked good. But we should have scored.
Yeah, we should have. But Teravainen was able to kind of lock the game down.
Yeah.
Honestly, I thought the game was kind of locked at 2-0 just because we weren't giving Columbus anything.
No.
We were in attack mode in the first period, and from the second and third period, we just controlled it to end it. So, great win against Columbus. Again, probably didn't have that same intensity type of feeling against Columbus as probably the Washington game.
Yeah.
But two solid wins to end the home stretch here. On the season. And Sam, I love the tie that Tripp wore in the Columbus game.
Cooking with oil, gas, and gravy.
Yep, I love it. And he said it tonight.
He did. That's great. Love that.
Yes, he did. I was so happy he said, I love Tripp. I know there are fans that hate him. I'm one of the fans that like him. I know you are, Sam, too.
Huge Caniac.
Yeah, huge, huge Caniac. Tripp Tracy is. Shout out to Tripp Tracy. As always. But yeah, two great wins. Sam, one last question here.
Yep.
And then we'll end it. At what time, I'm guessing the last two games, Brendan Morris is going to start resting players.
Yep.
Is that your feeling, or maybe just the last game against Columbus?
I think you're going to know which direction the division's going in before you get to the last two games of the season. It's going to be pretty clear by then.
Yeah, it is. So I'm guessing we probably expect maybe Scott Morrow.
Might even
Moore,
last three games. I mean,
Scott
it's
Morrow might play. Tony D'Angelo might play.
Yeah.
I mean, I could see Brendan Moore be like, okay, we're going to sit Slavin. We're going to sit
Burns. Yeah.
Burns.
He did last year.
Yeah, he did do that last year.
So yeah, and I do that. I give a lot of these guys a break if I can. I mean, at this point, you actually have the ability to do so, right? You actually got players up, right? You can bench some forwards too. You've got
He's not going to rest anybody for the Boston game. He's just not.
No, because you want to win that game.
Yes, you do.
Because you're still in it, right? Like if New York loses tonight, it extends your chances, right? Because Carolina's got.
Well, I don't think Carolina did it last year. That was against Florida.
Yeah, remember they rested people against
they
Florida.
Did.
I think so.
I don't. Think
no,
they
didn't
did.
Because that game mattered.
Yeah, that game mattered.
It was a season before. So yeah,
at home against New Jersey, remember, and we got to see all the guys.
So that game that year, they did rest players. Again, rightfully so.
Yeah.
But Carolina has four games left.
All on the road, so we're done with home games until the playoffs.
So we play Boston Tuesday, St. Louis Friday, Chicago Sunday, Columbus Tuesday. It'll be that.
If we lose against Boston, I'm going to be fine with it. I just am because I don't want the Rangers to have an easy route to the Stanley Cup.
No, and I would like to see if we beat Boston. And the Rangers lose tonight. And then the Rangers lose again against the Islanders on Tuesday.
Well, I'm going to look at their remaining schedule here. So they have Islanders Tuesday, Philly Thursday, Islanders again Saturday, and then Ottawa. So, I mean, the Islanders could control their fates.
Though they do control their fate, and it sucks that they had to play the Rangers twice. But if the Islanders win Islanders both those games... Islanders
could do it. They really could. They have Islanders, a great goalie, in my opinion, in Sorokin, even though he hasn't really showed it this season.
Carolina has one game against a team that needs a win. One. Boston, because they want the President's Trophy. So playing one. St. Louis is out. I mean, they're basically out. They're 7 points out of a playoff spot. So they would have to win out. 3-2 is 5-10. Yeah, they more or less have to win out. They can only lose, I think, one more game. And then Nashville and Vegas have to lose.
Yeah, Boston, are you looking at their schedule? Or do I need to look at it? Yeah, I can look at it real quick here.
Boston's schedule is Carolina, Pittsburgh, Washington, Ottawa. Their schedule isn't overly friendly either. They have one game where they could probably, where it should be an easy out, and that's Ottawa. But you're playing Carolina. Carolina's still fighting for the division. Pittsburgh is a playoff, trying to get in the playoffs. Washington's trying to get in the playoffs. And then you have your game against Ottawa to close out the season in a back-to-back with Washington, Ottawa. I mean, it's not going to be fun for them.
Either schedule for both the Rangers and Boston, it's not an easy one. It's not the hardest one.
And then you have Pittsburgh's schedule. They have several games left. They play Toronto tomorrow, Detroit, Boston, Nashville, New York Islanders. So they play a team they're directly battling. So the division could, like that third thing, could go down to the last game against Pittsburgh and New York because they have some divisional games to play and Pittsburgh plays Detroit. So these guys, like all these guys are playing, like, again, Washington plays Detroit. Pittsburgh plays Detroit. Detroit plays both of them. Again, Pittsburgh plays the Islanders. There is some intra-divisional playoff games that these guys are playing. I mean, Pittsburgh's got two of them. And Pittsburgh's got two tough teams against teams they are going to possibly see in the playoffs against Toronto, against Boston, right, against the Islanders. So, like, these are not easy games for Pittsburgh, but they're scratching and clawing, and they still have Sidney Crosby.
Yes, they do. They're on a heater when four games in a row.
And what do the Caps have? They have Detroit, Buffalo, Tampa, Boston, Philly. I like their schedule a tad bit more, but it's still not easy. They play Detroit. They play Tampa, Boston, and then you have the game against Philly. That's their last game of the season, so that might mean something when they play. There's a lot of meaningful games for these teams that are battling it out against each other, and they're playing against each other, which makes it even more interesting.
It does make things very interesting. We'll see
what happens at the bottom of the division. I think it's going to be exciting for them. But you know what, Sam? It doesn't matter because we're in the playoffs. We're either going to be the number one seed. We're going to win our fourth straight title in a row or our division title in a row. Or we're going to be second. You know what? I don't care. Just get in. You got to have that motto. Guess what Tampa Bay's motto is? Don't care what seed we are. Just get in.
Exactly. That's all that matters. So, yeah, we will see you guys Friday.
Thanks for listening to the Kaniac Report. Be sure to subscribe wherever you heard this podcast so you never miss a future episode. Can't get enough of the Kaniac Report? For more content or to connect with the Sams, check them out on Instagram and Twitter at the Kaniac Report. We'll see you next time.